This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Good morning to you and welcome in. Hopefully, you are driving somewhere unimpeded by traffic. You'll be one of the few, the proud in this area doing that this morning.
I was flying this morning. I was rolling. I go, what's going on? Where are all the people? Am I in an I Am Legend kind of a situation? I don't know about it. Am I going to shoot deer in Manhattan? And I got about 50 feet from here. I can look out the window and tell you where I was for about 20 minutes at that intersection right there. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what was not going on. Whatever it wasn't good. It took me 20 minutes to go 2 minutes.
Wednesdays, dude.
Man, oh, man.
I gave you my theory, my working thumb theory that everyone has to, like, be in the office on Wednesdays and there's no telecommuting or whatever. You can just add 30 minutes to your boy's commute on
Wednesday. You got pummeled, dude.
Absolutely annihilated. I saw parts of D.C. I didn't know existed. And thank God for a global positioning system, by the way. If not for the GPS on my phone, if I had a situation like I had that one night where my phone died when I was driving around.
Did you ever figure out, by the way, if you have GPS in your car?
I haven't, but I assume that I don't. I think that's something you pay for. I don't think you just get that. But I
depends on the car.
I guess I should look into that at some point.
Yeah.
But if my phone died or something happened, it just decided it was going to reboot and start activating with brand new updates or something.
Now's the time.
I would not be here right now. I have never seen some of the places that I saw this morning. And they're all, by the way, within 2 miles of here.
Right.
As you said, I got to this area just so easily. I was Adrian Peterson, knife through butter, 64-yard touchdown against the Giants. I didn't get touched till the goal line.
I'm telling you, it's a balloon animal. Because when you got the balloon, and when you squeeze one part, the other part's going to inflate. That's what this commute is on Wednesdays. Man, oh, man. How about the return of Tom Wilson last night, my friend?
Tom Wilson, boys and girls, makes a big difference, doesn't he?
Was that the most on-brand Tom Wilson performance possible?
Got everything you wanted. He scored a goal on the top line.
Got a bogus penalty for scoring that goal, by the way.
Yeah, he got called for a penalty he didn't commit, which is a very Tom Wilson thing to do. That's generally how it works for him. 2 minutes for being Tom Wilson.
What number does he wear? 43? Go sit on the penalty box there, eh?
Two-minute minor for still being Tom Wilson.
For playing hard.
And he got into a fight. Which, by the way, the fight was, I don't want to say ill-advised. It was unnecessary. It was when the Caps were up multiple goals. Ian Foligno danced off of a face-off. To me, that fight was, I've been waiting 16 games for this.
I'm a little pent up.
I'm just going to get me a little bit of... He was a little bloodthirsty.
Yeah, you got to have a willing dance partner. I'm betting you that guy was basically like, hey, do you want to throw hands? Because we're losing, and I want to do something to impress my coach. Which I think, by the way, still is one of the dumbest things that happens in the NHL. But people like it, so I'll stand aside. But, yeah, he was itching to go.
He was so pivotal to the Capitals last year. He really did become a few guys. I think you could say this about with the Capitals when they won their cup, and then entrenched themselves as legends in this town. The obvious is your Ovechkins, your Backstroms, those types of players. But then there were role guys like Devontae Smith-Pelly, based on the 7 goals in the playoff run that he had. You'll never be able to take those goals away from him. He will be an icon as far as hockey goes in DC forever. He'll be a name that's dropped in 50 years. Tom Wilson, based on the fact that last year he blocked the number of shots that he did.
Penalty kill minutes.
Absolutely. The fact that he had 250 hits. The fact that he scored 14 goals. The fact that he got into that fight, which they printed T-shirts about as soon as he came out of the box against Coburn because he had thrown a cap sweater and disrespected Washington, D.C. onto the ice. Legendary status for Tom Wilson. And the countdown to his return was on, and immediately last night in the first period, He provided the offense on the top line that last year we all became accustomed to. This is what Penguins fans don't get. This is what hockey fans around the league don't get. They think this guy is just some Matt Cook, Chris Simon clown shoe. He's a lot more skilled than that.
Carlson looking ahead and getting it out the left wing side to Dmitry Orlov, moving in, and Wilson cuts in and scores! Tom Wilson, welcome back! He crashes the goal crease, made some contact with Dubnyk. Wilson's first of the year makes it 2-0 Washington.
The fight would happen a period later, but you know what I noticed too about him? First of all, the team just had more energy. They scored 5 goals. They won by 3. That was their best performance in weeks. But on top of that, the penalty kill, which he had 5 minutes on ice on, completely looked different last night.
They've been taking on water last couple games. Dmitry Orlov, maybe his best game as a Capital.
2 goals, 3 points.
Obviously, look at the goals, and that helps. That first shot was blissful, but that pass on the tape of Wilson, where he just had a stick on the ice and it was right there, leads to that goal. But generally, to me, I want to go back to the point you made about the rest of the world doesn't see what we see. And that's understandable, right? Because we're here, we see him every night, and instead of the highlight or low light as it was about him lighting some dude up, and then it's a suspension, and then you get the rep that you get. To me, his value is getting that extra possession. It's the defenseman who's a little bit rattled, a little bit nervous, and doesn't play the puck the right way in their own end. It's the forward who's looking over his shoulder, knowing that 43 is just a shark in the water hunting, and you smell like chum. That's where his value is. So you're never going to point to the, like, hey, he scored 15 goals. You get a lot of 15-goal scorers in the league, right? You get a lot of guys that play on the penalty kill. Jay Beagle's on the penalty kill. A lot of guys are penalty kill guys. When you add the sum of the parts together of Tom Wilson, he's a perfect fit for that top line. He's a perfect fit for so many of the things that they do. He's worth more than he's a 15-goal scorer that gets in fights. There's an extra layer to it that we get to see that we get, and that's why he's ours, and everyone else can kick rocks.
Well, he got paid massively.
Yeah.
I mean, he got, as far as I'm concerned, overpaid. Now, that can happen after you are a big part of a Stanley Cup winning team. But around the league, the contract he got, which was around $30 million, people kind of looked at that and scoffed and said, are you kidding me? You gave Tom Wilson that money? But what you're talking about, what you saw last night, this is why he gets that kind of cash. And all the people I watch these games with when I'm doing pre and post at NBC, Sports Washington, you know, whether it's Alan May or Al Koken or any of these institutional hockey minds in D.C., they all are predicting that he'll be the team captain after Alex Ovechkin leaves, because he basically, I don't want to say runs the dressing room, but he's the guy that they all kind of look to as a big brother, even though he's in his mid-20s in that locker room, because he's got everybody's back.
He's been around for a while, too.
But the skill is really, to your point, what puts him over the top, because a lot of guys can just be big and physical and hit people. He did not deliver any big blows last night. I am very, very curious to see whether or not his style of play changes. My fear is that I'm not sure if he's capable of changing his style of play and still being worthy of the contract they just paid him. In other words, if he kind of turtles up a little bit or goes into this shell where he's afraid to go out and blow people up, then, you know, Superman's not flying anymore.
Right.
I need him to put his cape on and do what he does. Be smart. Know which hits are going to get you suspended and which aren't, and pick your spots here. But he's going to get suspended again at some point if he continues to play like he has to.
No,
that stinks, but
it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, I mean, my analogy is always Joe Kane from the program. He's better when he's out until 3 a.m, you know, riding, playing chicken with railroad cars and doing a million different things. When he's got to tone it down, he's not the same guy. I don't know what you do there. I think you basically have to say, cross our fingers.
Cost of doing business to me.
Yeah, and hope the next one doesn't lead to a guy getting hurt, because when a guy gets hurt, that's when he gets in trouble.
You're enamored with a guy's lifestyle. Follow me here for the weird analogy. Like, you're married to either a NASCAR driver, or you are dating some guy who, like, is a extreme, like, jumper, you know, off of, like, cliffs and houses and stuff.
Right. Perfectly and good cliffs he just jumps off of.
He just loves to jump off of them. And this is what draws you to him, is, like, this risk. Averse, like this, or risk-taking person who just does whatever they want to do. Cost of doing business is that dude's going to have broken ribs a few times. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I do. This is what you love about Tom Wilson, so you're going to have to figure out a ways to get through some of these suspensions and hope that the league doesn't come down with preposterous 20 gamers like they did against him. And next time, ideally, maybe the CBA will be reworked so that it doesn't take 16 games to reduce it to 14 games because the process right now is clearly broken. Speaking of broken, the relationship between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers has all but ended finally. We now know that he will not play football this season. Every step of the way, I thought he was about to report, and he never did, Danny. You and I kept saying, we're going to see him at some point. We're not going to see him.
We're not
going
to see him. We're not going to see him.
Let's delve into that next. Got some thoughts on a piece on Alex Smith coming up later in the hour as well on Grant and Danny. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Those that are here and working, and appropriately so. That way I don't waste my time and theirs.
What about if he never walks through the door?
So be it.
I love Mike Tomlin.
My God, do I love that guy.
Oh, he's the stud. And he's right. So be it. We'll just move on with a running back putting up equal numbers. James Conner was easier to root for. Grant and Danny, welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. I'm conflicted on this Le'Veon Bell deal, though. I really am. And here's why I say that. Le'Veon Bell held out to get paid. And I have said on this show that I am always in the corner of the athletes holding out because it's so rare that they have more leverage than the teams who can cut them at any moment. But when I say that I'm all for athletes holding out, I'm all for them trying to get their money. I'm all for them missing practices. I'm not for guys missing full seasons. And my big problem with Le'Veon Bell, who I actually, if I have to come down on his side, I would say what he did this year made no sense, is I don't like how he handled this with his teammates. Forget the organization.
Yes.
He screwed his teammates over. He misled his teammates. That's why they were furious. He also played a bunch of games here. If he just said, if you franchise tag me, I'm not coming back at any point this season, and that was the end-all, be-all, and we never had another sentence or conversation, and he's just been quietly laying on a beach somewhere on an island I've never heard of.
So part of that's maybe not his fault, because the constant reports about he tweeted this or Instagrammed that. You think it is?
He was incessantly tweeting and Instagramming. He was craving attention so much. With every big James Conner run and touchdown, he needed to get attention dollars again. So James Conner's ripping off 164 on the ground, and then he's doing some weird emoji or tweeting something upside down that you need to decode with some 1946 decoder. He wanted attention this entire time.
Yeah.
If you want attention, go play football. If you don't want attention, then sit outside and wait for your contract next year. His whole thing was strange. Why did he tweet out farewell last week and come back to Pittsburgh if he wasn't going
to
report?
To play pickup at the YMCA. Yeah,
why was
strange.
He playing pickup basketball in Pittsburgh if he wasn't going to report? None of this made any sense to
me. I think what he wanted, it's beyond cake and eat it too. He wanted, obviously, I think he wanted Pittsburgh to love him. I think he wanted the Steelers to extend this big, you're coming back, Le'Veon, for true? We're so thrilled to have you. And they have to run a football organization. They have to run a team. They can't have guys doing their own program because when you do, you have too many of those guys, you start losing, and then you have different rules for different people. They're trying to run something, an organization that's successful, that was successful before he's there and will be successful once he's gone. They will find the next Le'Veon Bell that we already have. I think he was hoping for this grand gesture where he, you know what I mean? In addition, obviously, the payment that was never coming, but he wanted to make sure initially, and this is me guessing, I don't have any quotes, I think he wanted to make sure initially he didn't get the DeMarco Murray treatment, where Murray got 450 touches his last year in Dallas in a contract year and is out of football 3 years later. He was determined not to have that happen.
But this might have backfired because that treatment he wanted and was seeking may have happened if they were in big trouble or Connor wasn't playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're ripping off wins and they're one of the two, if not at worst, three best teams in the AFC, again,
yeah, one of the best offenses of football.
Yeah, exactly where they'd be with Le'Veon Bell. We don't need to deal with all of his nonsense. The only way that you can make sense of what he did is to say that he didn't want to risk injury. That's it. No, but you got Adrian Peterson at the same position that tore his ACL and rushed for 2,000 yards the next year. The chances of a serious enough injury to hinder him being able to get the deal he wanted were low. I don't know how you justify his actions. To justify sitting out an entire year, Danny, you've got to convince me that he's going to make $15 million more on his next deal, which is what he gave up this year.
Yeah, over the life of the deal, is that
worth it? In terms of, he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, because this is the thing. You can't question, don't get in someone's pockets. He's a businessman. Well, maybe he's a bad businessman. He has to make $15 million more on his next deal to just come out in the wash for what he just missed out on. How can anybody make the case that sitting out for a full season is going to help him to do that? I just don't. You think that someone's going to say, well, there's lack of wear and tear, so we'll guarantee him an extra year on the back end. You get the first couple to 3 years guaranteed no matter what. No one's guaranteeing you a fourth year because you're a year older.
Yeah, so I think what's going to end up happening.
Less wear and tear.
Just reading some people that do this for a living. Aditi Kinkambwala and I, a couple other folks as
your
well.
Your friend.
Who she hates me still, by the way, I'm sure. Or if she remembers me at all. But the people that do this for a living are still saying, listen, someone's going to pay him.
Definitely.
But that deal isn't what I think he had in mind, if that makes any sense.
He wants to be paid like the combination of a number one running back and a number two wide receiver. That is the amount of money he wants.
So what she said was someone will give him that kind of the way it's structured, that first couple of years may be guaranteed in the $15 million AAV kind of range, maybe with a signing bonus that looks very flashy, but then ultimately, you know, the same way every running back deal is going to be structured from until the end of time, because that position has so much turnover. And there's a reason we are going gaga over a guy that's 33 doing this, because we can't believe it, because this doesn't happen. They're going to get the same get out of jails of every other deal that gets offered to running backs at this point who are free agents. He'll get some money, but it won't be enough to make up for this $15 million or so that's lost this year. And it won't be what it could have been had he just played and limited his touches and had a huge year, and people would have said, oh, my God, I can't wait to throw extra money at this guy.
I could even see, if you want to call in, we would love to hear what you guys think about this. Fascinating, never before seen in the modern NFL era story of Le'Veon Bell foregoing the entire season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I could see you making the case, well, look, it was going to be a lot of touches on his body. 2017. He had 321 carries and 85 catches, 400 touches, 2,000 yards. He didn't want the wear and tear for a team that he's not going to be with ultimately. I disagree that he's going to be able to make the money back up or that he's going to get more money on his next contract by sitting out. Because I also think now there are major questions about how selfish he is, about whether or not he's a team player. Is this the guy you want to build your offense, build your organization around, which is what you got to do when you pay a guy this much money at a position, by the way, when a lot of teams aren't spending this kind of money. But you got to say, you know what? He's Todd Gurley. We'll pay him. He's that good. And then build around a guy who could care less about any of his teammates. However, that said, how do you describe the lack of communication? The misleading of the players in his locker room, his boys, his buddies, his weird tweets and social media stuff and the coming back to Pittsburgh. That's the games that were being played that I can't understand.
Because
remember
how this went. They went from, dude, you got to do what you got to do, man. We get it. You know, go for it. Get that money. You've earned it. You're great. To, I don't give a damn if he comes back or not.
Right.
Think about that. I mean, that's a different animal here.
A lot of that was James Conner just being really good.
That's a big part of it. But I think
is part of why he doesn't get paid. It's part of why running backs don't get paid. Because I've got an awesome breakdown of his entire career in Pittsburgh I'll run through. Next segment that Rob Rossi wrote for The Athletic, kind of year by year. But what you'll see is a trend where constantly he wasn't available because of injury or suspension, because he's been suspended multiple times. And in each of those situations, you missed out on an elite-level player, obviously, but this offense never took a step back. And it wasn't just James Conner. We'll get into that next. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Rick Snyder of TheFanDC.com, one of our columnists, joins us in a half hour. We'll discuss the Redskins. He had some thoughts on the ongoing story about the atmosphere at FedEx Field, but more importantly, we'll get into football It's Wednesday. We're looking ahead to the Texans in town. Couple of 6-3 first place teams meeting in Landover, Maryland on Sunday. Let's get to the phones on Le'Veon Bell this segment. If you've got a thought, there are lines open at 800-636-1067. If you missed it yesterday, the deadline for Bell to report to the Steelers has now passed. He will not play this season. In the prime of his career, one of the best players in the National Football League, a 26-year-old pass-catching tailback, and a sensation offensively, will not play a down this season. And what's amazing is the Steelers really haven't missed him all that much. So before we get to the phones, and I want to get your reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story I read yesterday in The Athletic by Rob Rossi. Covers the Steelers. It was so perfect. It was not editorializing. It was not an opinion piece. He just listed basically everything that has happened in Le'Veon Bell's career to this point. So I'll just run through it really fast. As I'm doing this, though, I think this really does make sense as to why the Steelers aren't paying this guy. You could say the man deserves his money. There's a lot of water under the bridge with this dude. I had forgotten some of this. He's been a pain in their butt. I mean, he has been a problem child. So here are some of the things that have happened. 2013 rookie year. He averaged over 90 yards per game, had a great breakout season as a second-round pick. But he only averaged 3.5 yards a carry, and so they told him going into the offseason they wanted him to come back slimmer and lose a little bit of weight, which he did. However, in August of 2014, his second season, he almost missed a flight. I guess they had to hold up a flight or something like that for a preseason game to Philadelphia because Le'Veon Bell was almost missing the flight to go to the preseason game.
Hmm.
So that's one of those things where you're going, second year, second round pick, starting running back. This is not a great thing.
I did not know that.
He was charged with possession of marijuana around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Driving under the influence as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was pulled over with, you may remember, LeGarrette Blunt. Okay, I had forgotten that completely.
I forgot the Blunt part, but I remembered the, no pun intended, but I remembered the pot arrest.
So that was 2013.
Right.
That next season in 2014 is when he became a star.
Mm-hmm.
2,200 yards and 11 touchdowns. However, at the end of that season, and this is kind of the juxtaposition of his entire career, it's give and take, right? It's great and then something that you worry about. He had this amazing 2014 season in his second year in the NFL, but then he wasn't available because he got hurt at the end of the year and he didn't play in the playoffs. They lost right away in the division, in the playoffs for the first time. In 2015, so this is his third year, he suspended 3 games at the beginning of the season for violating the NFL policy of substances of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
6 games into that 2015 season after he came back, because they reduced the suspension by a game, so he played until about the midway point of the year.
Right.
He tore his MCL.
Uh-huh.
Was unavailable. So he played in 6 games that year because of a suspension and an injury.
And he was on his way to his best season that year, by the way.
Yeah, he was playing well.
Yeah, he was playing great.
So that's, again, though, that's now 3 years in,
yep.
And you've been suspended, you've been injured multiple times, you've been unavailable in a playoff game. But, okay, here we are. So, in the offseason, he has to have surgery, and he got that surgery. It should be noted, though, that when he missed the second half of that year with the torn MCL,
mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Williams was phenomenal. Remember, he came in,
yes.
Everyone said, oh, man, the Steelers are going to suck. The Steelers' offense is going to fall apart. D'Angelo Williams was one of the best running backs in the league in the second half in that same offense.
That's right.
They won a playoff game with D'Angelo Williams, and then they almost knocked off the number one seed, which was Denver with Peyton Manning at the time. They just about got to the AFC title game with D'Angelo Williams. But you go into 2016 and you go, this is it. We got Bell back. We are healthy. This is the crew we want. We got the Killer Bees, Brown, Big Ben, and Bell. Everything's going to be fine. The start of that next season, 2016, 4-game suspension for skipping mandatory drug tests in the offseason. I think people forget about that. So this guy skipped his drug test. Now, he alleged that at 5:37 in the morning, someone showed up at his house and he didn't want to do it or he was asleep or whatever. Whatever the reason, he got suspended for 4 games. Again, it got knocked down to 3 games. That was a second suspension. That's the exact same time, by the way, that 2016 offseason when he was skipping those tests, when the contract dispute began. When Art Rooney promised Antonio Brown a new deal, Bell wanted one as well. So he came out with some rap songs where he was talking about wanting to be paid like a running back and a wide receiver. So then you get into the 2016 season after all that. That was Bell's masterpiece. You know, that was a Picasso painting, right? 1,800 yards, 260 rushes, 75 catches. But that came in just 12 games because of the suspension.
Right.
In the playoffs, he rushed for 337 yards and wins over Miami and Kansas City, a record for the first 2 playoff games anyone had ever played in. He was awesome. AFC title game, though, he played one quarter and got hurt his groin. They lose, and after the game, he came out and said, I've actually had a hurt groin for several weeks. He was never on the injury report, though, so the Steelers got in trouble for that. Got investigated by the league. So here you are. It's this great feeling. This guy's turned the corner, and you're back in trouble because he came out and said, yeah, my groin's been getting treatment for weeks, and it wasn't on any reports. Kind of the symbolism, according to Rossi, of the up and down nature of the relationship. So then to finalize this, because I know this is a lot, he goes into the offseason that year after 16. He gets the franchise tag in February of 2017. In March, he had groin surgery. They said he wasn't going to need, but he had it, you know, he had it, and he was wrong about that, I guess. Then they draft Connor in April. Then he turns down $60 million on a five-year contract that would have made him one of the highest-paid running backs ever. He said he wanted the money of a number one running back and a number two wide receiver, so he started his weird social media posts at that point. 2017 last year, as good as we've seen anybody play in years and years. Gurley-esque. 321 carries, 85 catches, 1,900 yards, 11 touchdowns. He goes for $155 and two scores in a playoff loss to Jacksonville, his last game probably with the Steelers ever.
437 combined targets and touches last year.
Unreleased.
Getting
use. Unbelievable.
Yeah, usage.
Just when he was tagged, though, this year in July, he posts on social media that 2018 is going to be the best season he'll have yet to fans. And then he begins his weird back and forth. And oh, by the way, James Conner's become one of the best backs in the league. So knowing all that, why should the Steelers pay this guy $17 million a year?
You should never pay a running back that. You should never give a running back a second contract, basically. It'll never work out. The occasional Adrian Peterson will blow up in your face and you'll go, man, we lost that one. There's too much Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson. There's just too much James Conner. There's too many guys. It's too easy to find non-first-round running backs. Just in the last 2 years, guys like Mixon, Tariq Cohen. You go back to some of the other guys I mentioned. The value of that position, you can never pay somebody as good as they are at age 26. And as tempting as it is, they all fall off a cliff. They all do, with the rare exception of John Riggins and Adrian Peterson, basically, it seems.
I know that took too long, and I dominated the segment. That doesn't that make a lot of sense
of
when you kind of run through it all?
Of course it does.
It's injuries, it's suspensions, it's weird things on social media. Why put all your eggs in that basket?
Yeah, you add it all up and there's no way.
Whenever he's missed time, your offense just keeps chugging along at the same pace.
Because it's a good offense.
Michael, Fredericksburg, what's up?
Hey, guys. So three quick points. To me, Le'Veon Bell is a more talented Fred Davis. I would never pay the running back. Danny just stole my thunder a little bit on that. I would never pay a running back a second contract. It's never worked out for any running back in the last 20 years. The drop-off's too quick and unpredictable. And then the other thing is I would never pay an individual that lacks so much character and ethics and fortitude, hence my comparison to Fred Davis, that kind of money. It's just it's a failure trap. I listened to a lot of stuff yesterday about, who's going to win, who's going to lose. It's going to take years to determine whether Bell, performs through this next contract, whoever does give him the money. And I would put every cent I have on it that they're going to look back after 3 years and regret the signing.
Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to Jay in D.C. on the fan. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, man.
I got 2 points. Please let me finish. I know y'all quick on the trigger. First of all, when he left Miami, I think he had all intents and purposes on coming back. All his intentions was coming back before the deadline. I think the Dez Bryant injury kind of like changed him and gave him a different outlook.
It's possible, man.
Okay.
Possible, yeah.
Possible. Okay, so as far as like everything that he's done and what the team has been through with him, I'm all for a guy holding out to get his money. Because like you said, the NFL is one of the most grueling sports in America, and these guys don't get paid like they should. The contracts aren't guaranteed. But so all of that you're saying didn't stop them from giving him a franchise tag, which is a top six salary within your
top
position.
Five,
top
yeah.
five, yeah.
So it's kind of, okay, so I liken it to me. I like to gamble. I go to the casino. My wife hates it.
Yeah.
She hates it. And she when I lose, she whips me a new rear end. She kills me. But then at the same time, if I come home with women, she's indulging in the money.
That's funny.
So don't sit there and say you don't condone this behavior, but yet and still, when it's beneficial to you, you partake of it. You understand what I'm saying, Doug?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a good phone call, Jay. Thank you. I'm not sure that they ever condone the behavior. I think their point is, When you're here, we'll deal with you. And if you're not here, we don't necessarily care. I don't have a problem, by the way, with him holding out. I've said that all along. My problem is how he handled the holdout. Guys that hold out don't mislead their teammates the way he did. You very rarely see teammates come out furious at players. It's because he kept leading them on as if he's coming back. Guys that hold out don't generally tweet out to the fan base, hey, this will be my best season yet, and then not show up. They don't do this farewell tour where they show up in the city and they're playing basketball. He did not handle this well. Whether you think the holdout was a good idea, smart business decision or not, I think is a different conversation.
Yeah, I was in favor of him even missing a couple games because of the usage last year.
Absolutely. He either got bad advice from his agent time and time again, or he was just foolish and couldn't help himself on social media.
But beyond that, think about the guys that aren't playing right now and they wanted to get back in. The advice that the best thing to do is to not play. The best thing to do for a coach is to not coach for a while. You become more attractive over time. Look at Gruden, John for the evidence of that, right? You get your name floated. For players, it's the opposite. You need to be playing. Junior Gallette is tweeting about the Redskins every 15 seconds because he wants a gig. He turned down an offer thinking that him being out there would be the best course. Dez Bryant didn't get an offer until, you know, who knows when, after visiting with Baltimore and Cleveland, just thinking they'd be out there. They weren't. Players need to play, and that's the best way to prove your worth. That strategy doesn't really pay off typically.
The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. We can wrap up the Bell discussion with a couple more of your calls on whether or not you think he was in the right not to report this year. Also, though, the Wizards turned down a trade for a marquee star in the NBA, according to one report. Should they have? We can tackle that next on The Fan. Rick Snyder on the Redskins in 15 minutes as they get ready for a first-place matchup.
There was a time, and it's not that long ago, where I was way heavier than I should have been. I saw a picture of myself. It looked like I was like Bugs Bunny swelled up, you know what I mean? Or I got a Looney Tunes hit on my hands, and my jowls were big. I had like 19 chins. And I went, oh, my God, that's wrong. EMP 180 weight loss has changed that. With the holidays coming up, GP, it is a landmine time for folks putting on some of the poundages. Now is the time to hit up our friends at EMP 180. It's the standard of nutritionally based weight loss in the D.C. area, and it works.
Yeah, it's time to get empowered through those family gatherings, office parties, help you resist some temptations, lose weight, look great. EMP 180 is going to empower you. They're going to keep the weight off. You're going to live a longer, healthier life. You're going to lose how to be nutritious. You're going to learn, not just right now as you lose weight, but for the rest of your life. You're going to gain muscle. You're going to get smarter about what you're putting in your body. They got offices all over the place. Very easy for you. Alexandria, Woodbridge, Tysons, Rockville. How about Ashburn now as well? EMP 180. Google them. That's EMP for Empowered 180. Or call them and get a consultation set up. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get into the Redskins matchup with the Texans first time this morning with Rick Snyder of TheFanDC.com, one of our columnists, at 11 o'clock in 10 minutes. By the way, go to TheFanDC.com for some really good write-ups from Shorts and Company on the ongoing conversation we've been having with DJ Swearinger, Clinton Portis, among others, about the atmosphere at FedEx Field. Let's go to Peter in Ashburn. Wants to talk Le'Veon Bell's season-long holdout, which will not be ending. He will not report, and the Steelers will now try to fight toward the Super Bowl without him. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. I'm old enough to remember when John Riggins held out for the year, and I just see – I can't even draw a parallel between these two because, you know, Riggins was trying to get fair market value and was willing to stand out a year. I think Le'Veon Bell just wants to break the bank. And I think the work ethic between the two is totally different. I mean, Riggins went on, like, he played like a man on fire for the rest of his career, earned every penny. I think he obviously played his best football after that. I think the negotiating style was great, too. I mean, that guy was literally, you know, mowing lawns for beer money and stuff during the offseason during the season. And then I think, if I remember right, I think it was Joe Gibbs went and knocked on his door.
Yep.
That's the story.
And Riggins answered it in his boxer shorts and cowboy boots and handed him a beer and was just like, yeah, let's go.
You're right. And it's such a different time. I refuse to say Le'Veon Bell doesn't work as hard or it doesn't put in the same, you know, grind that Riggins did. I don't believe that. I'm sure John Riggins worked really hard. It was a different time. I don't think players in general worked as hard then as they do now, to be honest with you. I think you had beers and you hung out after practice.
It's different. I mean, that's what training camp was to get back in shape.
Exactly.
That's what the two-a-days were about. This is different. These guys are in shape year-round.
To me, this isn't really about how hard Le'Veon Bell works. I do think your point is very accurate when you say, well, Riggins was trying to get an amount of money that it was justifiable to be a starting running back. Bell turned down $60 million. Now, I'll say the same thing for him that I said for Kirk Cousins. What the market dictates your worth is how much you deserve, right? So just turning down $60 million doesn't mean, well, he turned down that much money. He's a bad guy. He's selfish. No, you should be paid whatever the market dictates your worth. We knew what Kirk Cousins was going to be able to get on the open market. He's a quarterback. It's different at running back. Well, and a lot of teams will just say, no chance I'm paying anybody how much money Le'Veon Bell wants at that position.
Right. But
that's where this is different to me.
But didn't the market say, because there's a mechanism for it, $14.5 million. That's your market value, right?
Right, but in the same way that Cousins wouldn't have signed an AAV year after year at that number.
Oh, right. No, I understand, but I'm saying for
this year. Le'Veon Bell turned down the franchise tag rate each year for 5 years, which he should have done. Because the market says that's the negotiating point where you start your negotiation.
Right, I'm guaranteeing that
much. And you grow from that.
So, but going back to Riggins, obviously this is a different era. So who knows if there was Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Instagram and videos handheld, that what Riggins would have been doing at his home in Kansas. But Riggins basically said, pay me more, I walk. And they said, we're not going to pay you more. So he said, okay, I walk. And he left. And he went and was, you know, chopping wood in Kansas. And he wanted more than $300,000 for putting his body through hell. If Le'Veon Bell had simply said that, I think he'd have a lot more standing with a lot of people, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? It's give me the long-term deal or I'm not playing. And they said, okay, we call your bluff. And he said, I ain't bluffing. And he walked away. I think a lot more people would be like, you go, Le'Veon Bell, instead of the frustration with all the histrionics.
And we cannot have the discussion without also saying that James Conner has put up all of the numbers that Bell did before him. And as the story pointed out that I was citing earlier with all of the things that have happened in this journey to get to this point in the saga. Before that, it was D'Angelo Williams who represented everything that Bell did. Now, is he a better, more special elite player? Do you have to plan for him more? Yes. Do you have to maybe account for him a little bit more? Sure you do. I don't think James Conner is as good as Le'Veon Bell, but he has replaced the production. And he's learning the hard way, Bell is, I think, that at that position. You know, maybe if you're a cornerback, you can do this, honestly. Maybe if you're a quarterback, I think you could do this. At that position, someone else will be plugged in and everyone will move on.
You
life
can
happens.
Always find running backs. Always.
EJ's in D.C. What's up, EJ?
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Hey, you know, I disagree with a lot of the callers that's calling in, and compared John Riggins to Le'Veon Bell is something that I would never do. He never caught 85 balls in a year.
That's true.
They want to pay true,
him.
They want to pay him. He had 10 receptions one time.
they want to pay Le'Veon Bell as a running back, which you said the market is for. But what's the market for a running back who catches 85 balls? Isn't that a different place
where he should get money? Wants it to be, but Todd Gurley just signed a contract who does some of the same things as Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and he got paid.
He did, but he got paid about what Le'Veon Bell was offered and turned down.
Le'Veon Bell was offered $60 million, but it wasn't guaranteed.
Right.
All the money was not guaranteed.
Right, it was 2 years ago.
That's the thing. The new thing is to get guaranteed money.
Correct. And I think
so far it's been quarterbacks have gotten that. And I guess a couple defensive players have gotten more guaranteed than we're used to in the past.
Yeah, it's a great phone call. Thank you, buddy. But, yeah, that's the trend. It was Bell's was 5-60, whereas Gurley's was 4-60, and his guaranteed money, I believe, was right at $45 million. And that was the big difference because I think Bell's was maybe 10 or so million less than that.
But this is a new era. It's not just Le'Veon Bell doing it anymore. David Johnson's doing this. Todd Gurley's doing this, you mentioned. Melvin Gordon's got four receptions fewer than Gurley does. Zeke Elliott's got 35 catches.
Yeah.
James Conner's got 40.
If you think all those guys are going to start making
receiver money too?
$25 million a year, I think you're crazy. I just don't see that happening. But that's what he wants. He's trying to change the industry. And we'll find out when he gets his next deal if he did or he didn't.
He's either the standard bearer or a cautionary tale. No in between to me.
Rick Snyder follows the Redskins, among other teams, for us at thefandc.com, our website, one of our columnists. He will join us next. We'll start to get you set for the Redskins and the Texans on D&D.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.